Bonjour, hi, welcome or welcome back to another Coffee Talk. For those of you who are not familiar with Another Coffee Talk, it's a series and a podcast where every Friday I sit down with a cup of coffee. I sip on it while I talk about different topics that have been on my mind for the past week, and this week is no exception. The weather has shifted drastically. I was not ready for this. I can feel the seasonal depression creeping in, but obviously, it's kind of related to what we have to talk about today, to what I have to talk about today, to today's topic, because I want to talk about cuffin season, which is pretty freaking similar to seasonal depression, so here we go. Yeah, we're talking about cuffin season, if that wasn't clear. Okay, now it's clear. Let's go. Around this time of year, for the past 2 years, so we're going on 3 years now. Remember how, maybe you don't remember, but I've spoken about this in a previous Coffee Talk, how I have a certain pattern when it comes to dating, where I will be kind of seeing two people at the same time, once for the heart, once for the head. And this usually happens twice a year. And one of those two times is actually around cuffin season. So it's usually around September, October, November. And so I can feel the pattern kind of trying to crawl back in, to crawl its way back into my life. But no, this time around, I want to do it differently. And I've had a situation recently, actually, this week, where I really had to fight the urge to go back to my old ways, to kind of settle for what I usually settle for, or to go towards what I usually go towards. And that is because I was kind of seeing someone, not necessarily seriously. At least we never really spoke about how serious it was. And it never really was serious because we had a total of like 3 or 4 dates. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What matters is I don't have any news from that person, and I've tried reaching out, and it's the energy was just off. And that's the thing. I always have a pretty good gut feeling when it comes to these type of things. I kind of always feel when something's off, when the energy shifts and when the person loses interest. And that's okay. I've come to grow with it, and I've come to realize that rejection is redirection, and I've again spoken about this in a previous Coffee Talk, and I feel like I'm pretty good at getting rejected now. I cope with it better, and I'm better at understanding it, and I'm better at knowing that it's not necessarily about me, and that's okay. But what I hate about this whole thing, what I hate the most about rejection, is not knowing. It's just waiting. This is what I hate. I'd rather people be upfront with me and be like, hey, you know what, I'm not interested anymore, or you know, I don't really see a serious potential with you. I've had fun with you. I've had a good time, but I don't see this going anywhere. And that's fine, because it has happened to me in the past where I was the one not interested anymore, or I was the one not really envisioning anything serious or any potential relationship, whatever the nature of the relationship was. And that's okay. That's totally fine. As I said, I'm okay with that. But it's the waiting. It's the waiting for an update. It's the waiting for an answer. It's waiting for a reply. It's the unknown that I hate the most. And it has happened to me this week. And I really had to talk to myself, and I really had to, you know, do some introspection and some reflection, because I'm not gonna lie to you, the first urge, the first thing I wanted to do is to get back on dating apps and try to find someone else, honestly. Like, get distracted and try and cope with it by just finding someone else, and by becoming distracted by somebody else, and by being entertained by somebody else, and by feeling interesting because of somebody else. Because that one person that I was interested in, and I still am, I guess, because I haven't had any answer. Anyway, that one person wouldn't give it back to me, wouldn't reciprocate that, and my first instinct, or my initial reaction would have been to go back on dating apps to get that, I don't know, maybe like approval from other people, from complete strangers, which sounds freaking pathetic. But still, that was what I would have done previously. I haven't done it, and I'm pretty proud of myself. And that's the thing. It's also a question of timing, because cuffing season is right around the corner. And so at this time of year, usually for the past 2 years, as I said, going on three, I've always felt this need to connect with people, to start dating a little bit more. Summer's over. People kind of want to cuddle up and warm up, which is normal. And I'm totally part of this. Like, I'm including myself in there. Cuffing season is real. I feel its effects on me. I feel its effects on people around me. But I'm trying to resist it this year. I mean, I'm not going to deny anybody. I'm not going to, you know, say no to any kind of date. But I don't want to force it. And that's what's different this year. I say this and I'm a hopeless romantic. So as soon as I meet someone, I might just fall in love with them. No, that's not true. That's exaggeration right there. Just, you know, so it's clear. But I have this tendency to see cuffing season as an opportunity for me to, I don't know, maybe get my hopes high, because I know that I'm not the only one feeling that way around fall time, because it's called cuffing season for a reason, and people are actually getting back together or getting into relationships because the weather's getting colder and people want to, as I said, cuddle and do maybe more. But anyway, all of this to say that usually cuffing season and spring are the two moments in my life where I feel this the most, where I feel this need to connect, and I feel this need to, not necessarily love, but this need for affection. That's the right word. And this year I kind of caught myself before jumping into it and before downloading Hinge again, which sounds like a freaking nightmare. I've heard so many stories, and I was on Hinge up until recently, and I deleted it because I was so fed up with it. And that's the thing though, I don't want to go back on dating apps. And now I'm mentioning Hinge, but it's pretty much the same for Bumble, Tinder, Fruits, whatever the freaking app is. I feel like it's the same, and I'm always in this cycle. It's a love-hate relationship that I have with the dating apps themselves, but also the people on the dating apps, and it's always the same faces. Honestly, that's the funniest thing about it. It's always the same faces. And they probably, the people that I always see, they probably tell themselves the same thing about me. They're like, oh, here she is again. She haven't found anybody. And it's true, I haven't. But do I want to? I don't know. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday about, like, losing hopes in love and how, because she has a partner now, and her roommate, who is also one of her closest friends, or best friend, if you will. And she was saying how my friend, who now has a partner, has kind of given her hope again about love. And I honestly don't know. And the thing is, again, recently a situation happened where I spent a good amount of time with my father's partner's son, who is close in age with me and my sister. And we spent time with him. And I really got a good understanding and a good view of how most men, not all men, but most men see dating. And it honestly scared me. And I was kind of disgusted for a little while, because he was unfiltered, because he didn't have anything to do with it. Like, he wasn't there to impress us. We were not in a dating setting. So I feel like the dynamic and the conversations that we were having with this particular man was not, like, the intentions were not to impress us or to make us like him, or, like, not that he wanted to be this. Anyway, the point is, because the dynamic was different from what most conversations I have with men are, it gave me another perspective on how men see the dating world and how they date and how they see women. After having this conversation, I kind of realized that the way that men see the dating life and the dating world and just women in general is very different from how I see it, at least. Again, not all men, not all women. There's nuances to be made here. But the fact is, I know a lot of men who think and who act exactly like that person. And I was like, we're doomed. It's all just, we're doomed. We really are. But again, the funny thing is, we all have the same problems. We all go through the same things. We all go through the same situations. And it's funny because I find myself having these conversations or these types of conversations with so many people around me. So many parents, friends, family, acquaintances, friends of friends. We all have a pretty similar experience when it comes to dating, where our generation kind of knows better what they want, and they're not ready to settle for anything, or at least not for just any, or like, we know what we want to settle for, but at the same time, we're so afraid of commitment, we're so afraid of being vulnerable, we're so afraid of being stuck, that we don't allow ourselves to open up, but yet we're still all craving human connection and realness and authenticity, but we're not willing to do the work to get there. So how the fuck do we do, like, really? That's my question to you. How are we supposed to not lose hope and love, and how are we supposed to date seriously when nobody wants to be serious, and when nobody's taking it seriously, and when nobody's really to commit, and when nobody's willing to do the work to make it work? And circling back to the whole cuffing season thing, I see all these people getting together within a few weeks, and I'm like, how do you know that you like that person? Because it's one thing to enjoy somebody's company, and it's another to actually enjoy the person as they are. And there's a difference between these two things, the company of somebody and that's somebody in particular. And that's what I've come to realize, is that often when I find myself in these types of situations, when I find myself back in this pattern I was mentioning, it's because I enjoy that person's company more than I enjoy them. Because I don't stop and I don't take the time to ask myself if I actually like that person, because I just enjoy the company. And I just fill this void and I feel this hole of loneliness with somebody's company, because I guess it's a matter of good time, good place. I honestly don't know. And where I want to go with that is that when I go on a date, or at least when I used to go on dates, I would want that person to like me so much that I would focus all my energy on that. I would focus all my energy on being liked and appreciated, that I wouldn't even ask myself if I actually like that person, if that person was a decent human being. And it was up until recently that I actually realized that. And I was like, dating shouldn't just be about me being liked. Because the thing is, I take it for granted. I just assume that I'm going to like the person because I'm very approachable and I'm very easy to be around. And so I just assume that I'm gonna like that person because I tend to just like people in general, unless they do me wrong. But naturally, I will like people unless they do something that triggers something in me. And so I just assume that I'm gonna like whoever I'm with. But that's not true. And so now I'm kind of realizing that before I get into any kind of relationship, even friendships, I just have to ask myself, do I like that person? Like, yes, I do care if they like me, but do I like them in the first place? And that's the most important thing. Do you enjoy somebody for who they are, for their flaws, for their weaknesses, not only for their good side, but you also have to accept their bad sides. So, I don't know, maybe food for thought? Think about that, because I sure am. And it's pretty odd because filming these coffee talks, I'm always kind of gravitating towards the same topics because it is truly what occupies my mind, and I'm kind of sick of it. I'm sick that dating and men and just relationships take this much space in my life and in my mind, and it's something that I have to work towards because I've always had something going on. I've always had dating stories to tell. I've always had a situationship where I've always been talking to somebody. I think there were only a few moments in my life where I was not talking to anybody, where I wasn't entertaining any sort of situationship, where I was not in a relationship, where I was truly single and not dating. And honestly, these moments were pretty rare in my life. You know, well, obviously, from the point when I started dating to now, not when I was a kid, but you get the point. And I've had a friend point it out to me like a year ago. It was really, and it stayed with me ever since that moment, because it truly made me think how I say and I feel like I'm doing all this work on myself, and I truly am. I feel like I'm at a better place than I was a year ago and 2 years ago, not only dating wise but just like in general in my life and my personal life and my professional life as a human being. I feel like I've grown a lot, and I will continue to grow, and that's what's beautiful about life, is that you just always evolve and you always become hopefully a better version of who you are, and you always learn along the way, and life is full of lessons. But one thing that I've had a lot of difficulty working towards, or what's been the hardest for me, not that I haven't been able to do it, but what's been the hardest is breaking out of this dating pattern and breaking out of what I usually go towards. And I think it was this morning or last morning, I saw this TikTok of a man saying how when you have a type and you feel like it shouldn't be your type, it's because you unconsciously go towards these people because they trigger something in you that needs to be triggered and that needs to be brought up to your attention, that needs to be dealt with. And you're always going to go towards that type, and you're always going to gravitate towards that type until you resolve that, until you take care of that thing that need to be acknowledged and that need to be dealt with. And it's not always like some deep-rooted issue. It's not always that, but it's often to make you learn something about yourself and to make you maybe readjust the way that you see dating, or to make you readjust your standards when it comes to the people that you want to date. And naturally, when you deal with that, it's going to change the kind of people that you go towards. It's going to change your approach, and it's going to change the way, it's going to change your type. And it's true. It's honestly very true, because the type I was going towards a couple of years ago is not the type that I'm going towards today. Is today's type better? Not necessarily, but it's different. It sure is different. And it's true. It made me think back at what were the kind of people I used to go towards when I was in my early 20s, and now that I'm in my late 20s, I kind of want to gravitate towards people that maybe I'm not as physically attracted. Not that I'm not attracted, because it's important to be physically attracted, but my point is the physical attraction should maybe not be the first thing that, it shouldn't be my priority, you know? And that's the difference. And when people used to ask me, what's your type? I used to say, oh, I don't have a type, because I was only thinking of the physical aspect. Because it's true that physically, I'm attracted by a lot of features, a lot of different, you know, like eye colors and hair colors and shapes and ethnicity, whatever. But truly, I realized recently that my type shouldn't be only physical. It should be who they are as a person. Because as you grow, you know, your body changes, your face changes, your feet, you get probably, well, some men get more and more attractive and they age like fine wine. But typically, as we age, we become less attractive and less firm. And the thing that you're stuck with is the personality. The personality is the thing that just gets better over time, hopefully again. And that's what's the most important, especially in a partner, and especially when it comes to the people that you want to spend your time with, when it comes to the people that you want by your side. And not, again, not only in a romantic way, but friendships as well, you know? And that's the thing. I don't, when it comes to my friends, I don't care what they look like. I truly don't, because I'm with them for how they make me feel and for what they bring me, like laughters and energy and the conversations that we have and the things that we do together, I could care less about what my friends look like. But yet, when it comes to romantic partners, I do care. And maybe too much, if you ask me. And that's what I'm working on. Wow, I went off trail right here. We started with cuffing season, then we're talking about types, and we're talking about physical attraction. But hey, it all comes down to the same broad topic, which is dating. Which is probably one of the most popular topic, not only on here, but just in general. And I realize that with my friends and family, we always come back to talking about dating. So, I guess it is relevant. Anyway, I feel like the 2024 cuffing season is going to hit me hard. And I'm going to have to do a lot of work. And I'm going to have to do a lot of introspection. And I'm going to have to fight a lot of urges. But it's okay. I'm strong and capable. And I'll be able to get through it. And just enjoy the season. Pumpkins. Halloween. That's literally fall for me. Yeah, oh well. I think that's my cue to wrap it up here. Thank you for watching or listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting me. Yeah, that's it. I truly, truly, truly mean it. Hopefully I have made a little difference in your day today. If you would like to make a difference in mine, you know what to do. And I'm going to wish you in. Bonne journée.